You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Relationship Talk with Clement Maniatela.
So it's adult radio, and every single Friday at 11 o'clock, we do our relationship and sex feature. And today we are discussing the health benefits and risks of masturbation. And we'll talk broadly also later on about the benefits of self-pleasure. This is a practice it's a usual practice that's done by people who want to explore their bodies sexually, and also those who choose not to be sexually active with other human beings, but they still want to be sexually satisfied. And people do this understanding some of the benefits, right? Like a human body, whenever it gets an orgasm, it releases endorphins. Those are hormones that block pain and make a person feel good. But there are side effects, probably, to masturbation. There are health benefits to masturbation. Does it drain energy? Can you be easily addicted? Right? Does it affect your marriage and your relationship? And there are people who are not comfortable to talk about masturbation, even though they practice it, because of cultural and spiritual beliefs. They feel a great sense and great amount of guilt when they do it. And some people just don't do it because they believe it's wrong, which is also fine, I guess. So I want us to explore this and also look at how much masturbation is too much and what should you be concerned about. At what point must you think, this is now becoming a problem for me and I need to deal with it? We've got Lisa Welsh, who's a sex and pleasure educator, who's going to join us in a couple of minutes. I want us to start off the conversation with Dr. Mpume Zenda, who is a gynae. And Mpume has been on the show several times. Welcome back to the show, Mpume.
Hey, Clement, how are you guys?
I'm all right. So I thought we should start off by looking at perhaps the health benefits of masturbation. What are they?
So health benefits, first of all, Clement, before we get there, I want to just say the languaging is so important.
Mm.
When we talk about masturbation, that word in itself, whether it's a sociocultural trend that we've lived with, it does carry a bit of a negative stigma, so to say. So I prefer self-pleasure.
Self-pleasure.
Because then people are more inclined to understand what does it do. So the same benefits that any kind of sexual intimacy that you like and prefer, the same will happen with self and self-pleasure. One of the greatest benefits in terms of self-pleasure, particularly for women, is that you start understanding your own body, where things are at, what makes you tick. And so even when you are teaching or you are, you know, trying to get your partner, whether it's in partnered masturbation or self-care, masturbation, let me put it that way, then you know where your touch buttons are at. But in terms of just that release, whether you're getting that release from penetrative intercourse or a self-pleasure, that, as you said, the release of endorphins, the triggering of that dopamine in the brain. There's also another one that's called oxytocin, which is like a love hormone. All these, they help you from things like it's stress, it releases stress, it boosts your mood, it helps you relax. Feel good, and it's enjoyment. Some women will even find this helpful during their menstrual period or premenstrual period when they have cramps. It helps with that. And I think something that we look down on a lot is the self-esteem it can create for somebody who may perhaps be a bit shy about their sexual performance or their sexual just understanding. There's a lot of people who are very shy around, you know, experimenting and out of the box kind of stuff when it comes to sexuality. So even things like, anxiety, depression, all of those, whatever it is that you get from other more so-called acceptable kinds of sexual intimacy, like penetrative, the same happens with self-pleasure.
Okay. And then are there any risks or side effects people need to be aware of?
Too much of anything or, the extremes from both sides can be problematic. Remember, everything is about a connection between your brain, your mind, your emotions, and your physical. So in terms of side effects, it can be a problem if you, for example, somebody who finds that it makes them feel guilty, if you have to do it in secret and your partner doesn't know about it, those are areas where we start opening gateways to things like, you know, secrecy in a relationship, for example. Mm. So there is no shame to it. Share with your partner, and when you guys can and are open to it, do it together during whatever you describe to be a sexual intimacy. Oh. And then, of course, where we start getting concerned a lot is when, you know, the difference between, you know, an addiction. You know, an addiction is something where someone is compulsive. You're starting to miss on important things, work. You literally can't control. So anything that begins to control you, and that is a problem, and it's a red flag to go and get that checked out. The other big thing that sometimes happens, because self-pleasure, you are the person doing everything, so you know exactly what to do. Some people, you find that they start sort of like not enjoying, you know, a partner intimacy and prefer the self-pleasuring alone. Obviously, that will have negative effects on the relationship. So whenever you have to do something in secret, there's guilt, deal with that. Rather, have the conversation with your partner. If need be, get a therapist involved so that you hash out, so that it never becomes a negative thing. Self-pleasure, I think, is a great part of sexual intimacy and highly recommended, especially for women, because a lot of the time it's the women that are shy and have never sort of felt they have the permission to do that for themselves.
Right, Dr. Mpume Zenda, OB gynae sexologist, thank you for making time.
702
Relationship Talk with Clement Maniatela.
All right, I want us to bring in Lisa Welsh now, sex and pleasure educator. Lisa, welcome back to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. It's so great to be with you. Thanks.
So Dr. Zenda was mentioning the language and how important it is. Because when I started the show earlier, I was saying, you know, the benefits and perhaps the side effects of masturbation. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about just the importance of even labeling it correctly and how it having been known as masturbation has contributed to the stigma that still exists today.
Mm. So I completely agree with Dr. Zenda, though language is important. And I think by labeling it self-pleasure, then it falls into that category of like self-love, self-empowerment, and it feels a little bit more fluffy, because you're right, masturbation as a word makes people feel, oh, you know, nobody wants to admit that they do it. And they've got all of those ridiculous myths attached to it, like it causes blindness or hairy palms or, you know, there's so many crazy myths and so much stigma around it that by softening the language, it can make it more accessible to people.
Yeah, and the most popular question that people often ask is how much of masturbation is too much masturbation? I'm already receiving some messages on the WhatsApp line, which I'll go through shortly, of people saying, well, I do it twice a day. Some people are saying I'm doing it three times a week. How much of it is too much of it?
I bet you already know what I'm going to say. Whatever is right for you. And as Dr. Zenda rightly said as well, as long as it's not impacting on your ability to live normally, right? As long as you're not like cancelling seeing your partner or cancelling work so that you can stay home and self-pleasure, whatever is right for you is right. There's no wrong or right answer. And in fact, ejaculation, there's studies that show that regular ejaculation can actually decrease the risk of prostate cancer. And it's something like 21 times a month, so that's quite a lot. But there's no particular amount that you have to do or you should be doing, as long as it's not impacting on your life.
And then at what point must you start being worried about possibly being addicted? Dr. Zenda said when it becomes more compulsive and it controls you, affects your work, affects your life, then that's when you need to start thinking around how to change this. So at what point should people pause and think, this is going off the track?
Yeah, well, addiction around sex and masturbation is a tricky topic at the moment because there are some studies that are suggesting that there's no such thing as being addicted. But if there is that compulsive behavior and you are feeling controlled, that you're not able to go and do those things that you enjoy because you are, you know, you have to stay home and masturbate, then that is a time to see your therapist or to speak to your doctor.
Uh-huh. Let me read some of the messages that are coming through. Hi, Clement. I masturbate at least 3 times a week. But I feel like I'm replacing human action. I'm single and I don't see the need to date. Must I be worried? Lisa?
So I wouldn't be worried because masturbation is never going to replace human interaction. It is giving you a form of sexual stimulation. It is a form of, you know, which has so many benefits, like Dr. Zender mentioned. But it can actually increase your libido. It can increase your desire. So this isn't going to replace a human in your life and all of the things that having a partner can bring to you. So I wouldn't be worried.
Lerato in Joburg says, I highly recommend watching this movie, Good Luck to You, Leo Grande. The movie explores the beauty and complexities of sex or other pleasure. I highly recommend it. That's Lerato there in Johannesburg. Another message from Anonymous says, Clement, I have been doing this act and I don't see it as a problem. In fact, I personally feel that when I do that, it is much safer. I'm losing that SMS. Okay, that is safer than cheating on my partner. That's from Anonymous. What conversations must you be having, Lisa, with your partner? I remember when we've had almost similar conversations on this feature before, I got a call from a guy who said sometimes he would have sex with his wife and then as soon as he's done, go into the bathroom and masturbate secretly. Is this something you must be transparent about with your wife, your husband, your partner?
That's a tricky one. And I think that a lot of people are in that situation where they maybe don't experience the level of pleasure that they want to from sex, from partnered sex. And so they'll quickly, secretly go and masturbate quietly. Women do this too, all genders do this. And that I do think is something to look at. Because if you're hiding it and you're not speaking openly about what you actually need in the bedroom, then that is going to cause a disconnect in the relationship. So it's not here, the masturbation is not the problem, but the problem is that you're not able to speak openly about your needs, about your desires, about the kind of techniques that feel good to you. And so that is what I would look at there. Because you're right, people do feel guilty about this, they do feel like it's dirty or shameful, and it's not inherently dirty or shameful, it's, but the idea of secretly hiding it and doing it quietly and quickly away from your partner, that can cause a problem.
Are you seeing that more and more people are, I mean, it's self-pleasure for a reason, right? It's you, you know, enjoying this by yourself, but I'm just wondering if it works when you bring in your partner in that process of pleasuring yourself and both of you are actually doing this together. I mean, does that help in just building up the trust, building up that romance?
Yes, I'm a huge advocate for this. Mutual masturbation is so powerful. It requires a deep level of vulnerability because often we have never, ever masturbated in front of somebody. So bringing your partner into that is vulnerable. It can really boost intimacy, bring closeness, and teach each other about what you like. Like, it is a win-win scenario. I'm a huge fan of that.
011-883-0702. What's your relationship with self-pleasure? How often do you do it? What benefits have you picked up? Or maybe you're one person that's been doing it and you've seen a negative impact. I'd like you to share that with us. And have you been to a point where you were vulnerable enough to have that mutual self-pleasure with your partner where you bring them in and say, this is what we can do? Or are you like that listener I was referencing who says, I would have sex with my wife and then I go into the bathroom and I masturbate? I'd like to hear your experiences on 011-883-0702. If you've got questions for Lisa as well, you can send us WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Relationship Talk on 702.
It's 26 after 11 o'clock. 011-883-0702. We're talking about, we had Dr. Zender earlier taking us through the health benefits of masturbation. You want to call it self-pleasure. Because there's just stigma around the word masturbation. And look, it's an uncomfortable conversation for a lot of people. And there are many people who actually practice it, and yet they don't feel comfortable talking about it because they feel that great sense of guilt. Some of them consider cultural and their spiritual beliefs. Some just are reluctant to try it, which is okay. But often people keep it to themselves. And I'm asking if you have tried mutual self-pleasure where you bring in your partner and say, let's do this together. Or are you those that just prefer to do it on their own? We've got Lisa Welsh who's guiding us through this chat. Let me read some of your messages coming through. Hi, Clement. As a lady, I used to be super shy about it and I decided to get a sex toy. I promise you, after the use of the toy on my own, my experience with a human being has been so much better because I felt I understood my body needs better after having taken time to explore myself. I totally support self-pleasure. And Lisa, I think this is underscoring that point that was made earlier around how this is going to is not going to replace human interaction, but more going to help you understand your body better so that even when you get the human interaction, you know you can get to where you have been before on your own.
Absolutely. Because when we are discouraged from exploring our own body, how will we ever know what is the right way to get us there? Movies certainly are not the right education. Porn is often not the right education. But taking matters into our own hands or toys is a great way to learn about what you like that you can bring to partnered exploration. I think it's great. I'm so happy that the listener felt that and experienced that.
Anonymous says, Clement, interesting topic. I've been single since 2020 and since then I've been masturbating and I've learned a lot about my body and sexuality. I prefer it than sleeping with different people. And of course, right, this is other people choose to go for self-pleasure to avoid a scenario where they're just going to be in a sexual relationship with several other people. All right, your voice notes are coming through on 072-702-1702.
Hey, Mr. Clement, I am calling you from Joburg. You know, this masturbating is very healthy and also it's saving to cheat. Understand? Drama things, and you avoid the drama things of cheating and all the kind of things. At the end of the day, your wife is still your wife. Understand? I remember I was having 5 months not having my wife next to me. And then I was doing that. And I was feeling free. Understand? I was doing that in privately. You understand? It became healthy. It's healthy, actually. Other men, they must stop cheating and practice that. That is how it's going to work for them.
Oh, Lisa, any reflections on that, that it can stop infidelity?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly can. I mean, the great thing about self-pleasure is that there's no risk of STI transmission. And it definitely is something that can help in relationships where there's desire discrepancy. If your libido is higher than your partner's at any particular time in the relationship, then yes, you can take matters into your own hands and you can deal with that. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's healthy. It's healthy to sometimes have different libidos and to look after your own needs. It can also be good for people who have like a voyeuristic or exhibitionist side to then, you know, your partner might just want to watch you doing it, or you might love to be watched doing it. So there are different ways to bring self-pleasure into the relationship to actually boost the relationship. And I totally agree that it's not a form of infidelity. It's not cheating on your partner to self-pleasure, because this is your body. You're allowed to touch it, right? And it's definitely worth having the conversation together to give each other the right to self-pleasure and to see like what feels okay as a couple. Like, is it okay to use porn? Is it okay to do it this way? Is it okay? Like, have those conversations, because that really just helps to boost the intimacy and make sure that everybody is on the same page.
It's 11:30.
Relationship issues. Relationship talk. On 702.
It's 25 minutes before 12 o'clock. We are doing our relationship and sex feature. And I want to go to your messages now that are coming through on the WhatsApp line, and then I'll take your calls as well. Lisa, there is a listener asking a question here. It says, hi, Clement and Lisa. I am 28 years old a 28-year-old male. I masturbate almost 3 times a day, and I don't get arousal when I'm with my partner. Do I need to be worried?
So this is common. And so basically, if you found one method that feels good to you, right, and you, that's the only way that you can be aroused, then it is going to cause an issue in the relationship if you don't want to have sex with your partner anymore because you prefer masturbation. So what I would suggest here is actually varying your self-pleasure techniques and looking at the kind of stimulation that you're requiring. Is there a certain visual stimulation that you're needing? Is there a certain kind of touch? There's something called the death grip, which happens with people with penises when they self-pleasure in a certain way that is then difficult to be replicated in partnered situations. So if that is happening, it is cause to relook at what you're doing and build self-awareness. The fact that you're noticing this and saying, okay, look, maybe I'm getting too dependent on this one thing and it is going to cause an issue. And then communicate with your partner, because your partner might be thinking, why don't they want me? Or why don't they ejaculate during sex? Is it something wrong with me? And that is going to have that's going to cause a problem. So try varying your techniques, reducing your grip, reducing the visual stimulus, and try changing your body position, even standing up, or trying audio erotica rather than visual porn, for example. Vary it so that you can teach your body to respond to other forms of stimulation rather than just the one thing that gets you there. This happens with women too. They often have one technique that they do and it's really efficient, effective, and like it's hard and frustrating then when you try to experience pleasure in other ways. So many women who tell me they don't experience orgasm through penetration, for example, they prefer to self-pleasure because that's the way they get the right stimulation. So learn about what it is that you like. Try to vary the things that you like and try to replicate what you like in your partner's situation. So that does require open communication.
Yeah. Hi, Clement. Please keep me anonymous. I do masturbate now and then, and I actually know it saves a lot of trouble. I used to do it in my early adult years until I got married. Yes, my husband satisfies me, but once we separate because of work for longer periods, then that's when I call back to self-pleasure. That's anonymous there on the WhatsApp line. Another message says, good morning. The topic is really interesting. Enjoying it. Thanks. Another one says, morning, Clement. For me, masturbation is healthy, but it can be problematic if you don't have a partner. You can get addicted to the point whereby you feel like you don't need a partner because you can give yourself that sexual pleasure at any time. Another person says, good day, Clement. Is it true that if you over-masturbate, it can make one ejaculate early or quickly when having sex with your partner? Is that a trend, Lisa?
That's what a lot of people do think, and it just depends on the kind of stimulation. This is similar to what I said for the previous one, but actually, self-pleasure can help to increase sensitivity, increase libido, increase pleasure during partnered sex, as long as you're varying your technique. And if you're finding that there's any issues with ejaculation, premature or delayed ejaculation, then you can see a doctor about that if changing up the technique doesn't help.
Okay. So are there things, Lisa, that can aid people in their self-pleasure? Like, I don't know, bring in lube, bring in porn. What tips do you have for our listeners who want to start exploring more of the self-pleasure?
Lube. Excellent. Lube is like such an underrated tool, and it really does help because it reduces friction, it increases sensitivity, it can reduce pain and enhance pleasure. Like, it's something like 8 out of 10 women prefer to use lube. They get increased pleasure with lube. So definitely add lube for all forms of self-exploration, including the outside of the vulva. This is not only for when you're putting something inside, okay? So whether there's a penis involved or a vulva, definitely use lube. And then there's no problem trying to add stimulation such as porn and audio erotica or even written erotica if that helps to get your kind of brain on board. Your brain is such an important part of self-pleasure and pleasure in general. So see what you like, explore the kind of topics that really turn you on. You might learn something new about your fantasies that could be powerful to bring into your partner's situations as well. And yeah, sex toys. I'm an advocate for sex toys. Despite people saying that people can get addicted to vibrators, it's actually not true. we can, like clitorises can prefer the, you know, the stimulation that a vibrator gives, but it doesn't mean that you're going to get addicted. You can become accustomed to that, which is why I keep on saying, vary your technique, teach your body to respond to other forms of stimulation, try different erogenous zones, right? There are so many parts of our body that we can stimulate. It doesn't have to be just the genitals. Sometimes it doesn't even have to be touch involved. There are people who can experience pleasure and orgasm with just their mind, with energy, by just listening to erotica. So experiment, like learn your pleasure capacity. It's way bigger than any of us realize. So self-pleasure is great to help you really understand actually how much pleasure you are capable of experiencing and receiving. I haven't mentioned this, but for women particularly, it's hard to receive sometimes because we're taught to give. We're socialized to always give, give, give. So the idea of laying back and receiving pleasure is hard, right? I think a lot of people listening might understand what I'm saying, that oral sex, for example, you can't enjoy it because it's not nice to have all of that attention on you, and maybe you're wondering if you taste funny. Like, all of those thoughts go to our head. So self-pleasure allows you to practice receiving. And that is a powerful thing. That's a powerful tool that will help you in all areas of your life.
Hmm. You mentioned audio erotica, but there are also erotic books, yeah?
Definitely. And I mean, what a great thing to read those to one another, because it's easier sometimes than talking dirty. Talking dirty can feel scary, but if you're reading a book, that's a great first step.
Yeah. Let's go to more of the messages now. Hi, Clement. My name is Itumeleng from Mdeni Soweto. I love masturbation because it prevents me from making wrong choices. I'm currently single. If I have a date and I masturbate beforehand, it's guaranteed that there will be no action. It takes away that urge to sleep with multiple partners to quench my thirst, and it does not take away from being with someone. When I'm in a relationship, I still enjoy my partner completely. Oh, it's so interesting, Lisa, that people sometimes use that as just as a form of being responsible, because Itumeleng says, if I masturbate before I go on a date with someone, it's almost guaranteed that there's not going to be action, or at the very least, the urge is not going to be that strong.
Yeah, definitely quenching that biological craving. I think it's a great idea.
Another person, Anonymous, good morning, Clement and Lisa. Great show. One man's meat is another man's poison. For me, self-pleasure is not healthy. I used to do that before. I stopped because I started to have these evil dreams, sleeping with strange women. For me, it is a no-no. Maybe for women, self-pleasure is good. I don't know. That's Anonymous. So he says he started having some strange dreams, like evil dreams of sleeping with strange women.
Well, you know, and it's absolutely perfectly fine if this listener prefers not to self-pleasure and they're worried by those dreams. But the thing is, we all have different fantasies, and some of them might feel like they're worrying, but it's unlikely that they are, because fantasies are just in our minds. They're a figment of our imagination, and we all have such a big spectrum of fantasies, and some of them, yeah, they might certainly feel worrying, but it doesn't mean you're going to act on them. It doesn't mean there's something to really be concerned about. It's in your mind, and it's something that you can actually explore, and some people really enjoy to like dip into a little, to bring their mind on board. But if it does feel like it's something you don't want to explore, that's completely fine as well.
Let me take another question here. Hi, Clement. Can you ask Lisa, I've always been worried about it affecting my marriage. Should I worry about that, or is it better to talk to my partner about it, even though I'm quite shy to discuss it?
I understand that they might feel shy to discuss it, because your partner, if they find out, if they just walk in and it's happening, then they definitely might feel left out. Some people feel like it's some kind of betrayal, or that it means that they're inadequate somehow, right? So if a woman finds her partner masturbating to porn, for example, they can feel totally betrayed. And I've spoken to women who do feel like this is cheating, and like they're even considering ending the relationship. So I'm not going to pretend that it might not be a problem, because it might be. That's why it is important to speak about it, so that there's no misunderstanding, that your craving to do self-pleasure does not mean that there's anything wrong with your partner. It does not mean that there's anything wrong with your relationship. And in fact, if you were able to do this openly, then that might bring a whole new level of intimacy rather than you having to hide it and do things in secret, which, yeah, whenever there are secrets in a relationship, then it does form problems. So I know it's a difficult conversation to have, but maybe you could tread lightly and, you know, maybe look at sharing your self-pleasure techniques together and bringing this as something that you do together, bringing it to your pleasure chest of things that you do to enjoy each other.
Yeah. Another listener says, Clement, my girlfriend broke up with me when he found me masturbating in our bedroom. And since then, I just have this phobia because I feel I'm going to lose the next partner. Oh, well, the list is not giving us much information there, Lisa, but do people generally feel betrayed? Like if your girlfriend walks in on you while you are pleasuring yourself, or it's your boyfriend walking in on you, I mean, is there sometimes that sense of betrayal that how can you do that? At least you should have brought me in or told me this is what you do.
Yeah, definitely. People do feel betrayed. And that's because of the amount of shame that's involved in it, right? We're taught that this is something, you know, that's wrong and dirty. And if you are not seeking your partner for pleasure, then there must be something wrong. That's why people feel that sense of betrayal. But instead, they need to go a level deeper. Why do you feel betrayed? Is it because of the deception, because you didn't know? Is it because of the stimulation that they're using that you feel is wrong? Like, what is it? And is it just your own internalized feelings of shame around self-pleasure that you're projecting on your partner? Like, this is an invitation for a deeper conversation. I understand that initial, you know, catching your partner in the act and feeling like, why didn't they want me? But we're humans and we have our own sexual appetites, and it's okay for us to have a sexual relationship with ourselves. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the relationship necessarily, right? Mm. It doesn't mean that. It can actually reduce stress. It gives an opportunity to fantasize about our partner, to learn what we like you said. And it can actually increase pleasure and make us want to be with our partner even more. Mm. So if we can get honest about it, about what really upsets us, then it can actually lead to greater intimacy.
Yeah, and as you know, Lisa, there are obviously many myths when it comes to things like this. One listener says, Clement, to me, self-pleasure is a no-no because it's addictive, and to me, it kills my kidneys. Have you heard that kind before, that it kills kidneys? Is that a myth? I think that's what the listener is basically asking here.
I would say that was a myth. I would definitely say that's a myth. You know how natural it is for us to self-pleasure? But even there's evidence in sonographs of fetuses touching their genitals in utero and stimulating them. Children and teenagers, it's natural and normal. It's normal for us to do this. So it would be a real sad thing if humans were going to be physically depleted or harmed, injured by touching their own genitals. You know, this is a part of our body that is designed to experience pleasure. It's a gift for us to experience pleasure. There's no physical downside in that way. So if you're worried about your kidneys, definitely see a doctor and get them to tell you for sure. But yeah, that is a myth, in my opinion.
Another listener says, Clement, my partner always self-pleasures and I like it. He is very understanding when I do not want to be intimate with him because he can just do this thing. How do you have the conversation, though, Lisa, with your partner, your husband, your wife, so that they get to understand that this doesn't have anything to do with me not being interested to engage with you sexually, but more so about just me exploring my body, or even when you want that mutual masturbation with them? Mm-hmm. How do you intro the conversation so it doesn't sound like, oh, am I not enough? Why do you think we need all these extras to pleasure ourselves?
So go slow. Go slow and take it easy and leave space for them to be triggered, because we all have our insecurities and feelings of inadequacy, so leave space for that. But start by suggesting that there's something that you would love to explore with them. You've been thinking how great it would be to see them touch or to learn from them. I would love to learn from you. How do you love to be stimulated, right? That's a way of inviting them to show you. And how, for the other situation where there's a desire discrepancy, like was mentioned by that most recent listener, I am celebrating that because they've created a safe space for their partner to be honest about their needs, and they've welcomed it without judgment, and they've seen a way that they can use it to bring themselves together. But these conversations are difficult. That's really true. They are difficult, but they're worth having if you take it slowly and you have huge compassion, because we all have our own stories around sex. We all have our own worries and fears of abandonment. Oh my goodness, if they touch their own penis, does that mean I'm out the door? You know, but when we really look at it calmly, we can see, okay, this is just another form of sex. I often say to Clement, redefine sex. It's not only penetration. There's so many other things that we can do, and self-pleasure is a valid part of that. Hand stimulation, oral stimulation, they're all valid parts of sex. They're all valid definitions of sex that we can enjoy together.
Yeah. Why are we so scared to explore our bodies? And it's almost like there's the fear of the unknown. Like, no, let's just do this the way we've always been told and taught to do it. Nothing else exists out of what we've been taught it is. And we will get surprised when we start exploring our bodies and even with our partners. Anonymous says, hi, Clement. I've been married for 20 years now. I've always masturbated. It has never affected my sex life with my husband, and I've never discussed it with him. And I don't see a reason why I should, because I feel it's my little thing on the side. And most times it makes me excited for him. That's a message there from Anonymous. Lisa Walsh, sex and pleasure educator, always really appreciate your time in guiding us through these complex and sometimes uncomfortable conversations. Thank you for making time.